Welcome back, everyone, to this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. We are talking about Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 26, from July the 26th of 1992. We are still in Polk County High School, Benton, Tennessee. Doc, how are you doing this week, man? You hanging in there?
Hey, I don't want to oversell this, but this may be one of the most momentous episodes in the history of Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
You said that a few weeks ago, actually, so I don't know how that'll go over, talking about you don't want to oversell this. Like, I remember 2 or 3 weeks ago you said, oh, this is the best episode to date. So I don't know if
it was.
Okay.
I tell my wife every week of the NFL season that this is the biggest game of the year.
Right. Constantly. Yeah, it always. And I'm glad you brought that up, because this is going to air well after the Super Bowl. But how'd that Super Bowl prediction you talked about work out for you with the Dallas Cowboys this year? I'm just curious.
Listen, our fans do not tune in to this show to hear us talk about football.
You said you're going to be hoisting another Lombardi. How did that work out for you?
Well, I may have to drive to Boston to steal it, but I can still do that.
No, you may have to drive to Boston to steal it. As we're recording this on January 27, 2017, we do not know who the Super Bowl winner will be.
Oh, we know.
It is going to be the Atlanta Falcons versus the New England Patriots. So y'all want to give a prediction? Who you got, Doc, in that game?
I wouldn't. Let's just say that I trust the heels here in New England to get the job done, whatever it takes.
Okay.
Yes.
I got New England too, but I'm not going to call them heels. But I know Harper's got the Patriots because, you know, he doesn't want Atlanta to win. I don't want Atlanta
to
win
either. I just think that New England's willing to lie, cheat, steal, bleed, pay the price, get inside the steel cage, and settle this thing once and for all.
It's all a work, brother. Don't you ever forget that. And I think the heels go over. They keep the strap on the heels, the New England Patriots, and we'll call that a wrap. But anyway, all right, let's move on. Anything before I kick into the opening segment of this week's show? Any highlights, anything you want to cover before we get into the content of the show, Doc?
No.
You usually do a little research. That's why I'm asking. As Harper jerks off his
head. Well, we're back in Benton, Tennessee. We are going. I do want to say that, and this will lead us into the first segment, but we are getting off location. We are going off to do a vignette this week. Always love offsite interviews and vignettes. Smoky Mountain does a great job of these. You'll see more and more of them over the coming months. But they go offsite twice in this episode with fantastically awesome results.
I will tend to agree with that. So we're going to kick things off. We got Dutch and Bob. Bob and Dutch set the table for us like they always do. But Dutch Mantel says we have a Smoky Mountain first happening this week. He says he will be going on location to talk to the Dirty White Boy in Buck Snort, Tennessee. Bob Cottle then throws us to the ring for action.
Hold on. Did he say in that as well that Ben Jordan is in the main event?
I don't have it in my notes, but did he? I mean.
I think so.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right, yeah, because that is what happens, but okay. Mm. Yeah, you're right, because it's Hector and Ben Jordan versus the Heavenly Bodies, but it's going to make sense as we get to it. Whatever, dude, this is territory wrestling. You didn't get a pay-per-view main event.
I was just checking to see if I heard it all right. Get off my ass, motherfucker.
God, you're a fucking idiot sometimes. Shit.
Look. We got a great episode here. Can you just get
Golden Boy, Joe Kazana, and Gary Scott versus the Fantastics in episode one? Because I'm tired of listening to you, Doc. How much do you love the Fantastics coming out to ZZ Top, Sharp Dressed Man?
I'm tired of listening to you, Doc. How much do you love something? You're not good at this. I'm a huge ZZ Top fan, but by 1984, when this was out, so again, their entrance music is 8 years old.
Yeah,
I think Harper's mentioned that before. But by 1984, they released their album Eliminator, which was their biggest hit. They had a lot of synthesizer shit in there, so Sharp Dressed Man and all that. It just sounded like kind of hokey to me. So I'm a bigger fan of their earlier 70s stuff, like Pearl Necklace and some other family friendly jams like that.
What Doc's not telling y'all is he's criticizing ZZ Top. He was once in a band that kind of like the rock and roll, the Robert Gibson's band. It went sheetrock. because they never sold any records. So, you know, he's going to criticize ZZ Top, but his band never did
What's
shit.
That song that the Heavenly Bodies come out to? Because that's like
that is Frankenstein by Edgar Winter.
Yeah. I never got why they come out to that. It's like, who in the hell's like picking a music and be like,
because well, they're heels. They're heels. That music
let's come out
great
to this
them.
Shit.
Well, that's, I think that's, but no, Harper, that's, that music fits their heel persona perfect.
I love Corny to death, and I'll have this conversation when he comes on here, though. He stopped liking music in about 1984.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right, let's get to this matchup. Yeah, well, actually, sorry. I say let's get to the match, but let's start listening to Dutch and Bob take pot shots at primetime Brian Lee the whole time. Dutch is making fun of Jackie's height. And starts imitating primetime Brian Lee when he does his 6'8", 280-pound shtick. Bob is laughing. He is popping Bob Caudle this whole time. I felt like they were both in on the joke. Did you catch that, Harper?
Yes.
They were joking. Doc, what about you?
Yeah, they're having fun.
Dude, it's obvious. It's plain as day the way they're going back and forth. I'm like, good God. And the thing is, I would like to believe that primetime Brian Lee is watching the TV as it airs, you know, living in that area. And I just get this feeling that Dutch is doing that just to like screw with him. So this match ends in like 2.5 minutes. Fantastic's getting the win here with Jackie coming off the top rope and doing a flip while Bobby helps him. Hard to explain unless you see it. In short, Fantastic's get the win before their upcoming match at Fire of the Mountain. Again, we're just building the Fantastic's up here. Harper, you got anything?
No, I think the match should have ended with that clothesline from the top rope.
But, oh, you didn't need – yeah, you're saying you didn't need the I don't want to call it finish, but what they did. Yeah, I could see that. Doc, you got anything before we move on?
I didn't understand them making fun of Jackie's height and saying he's 6'2 and all that. I mean, I went and looked. He's billed at 6'1.
I don't think they were making fun of Jackie as much as Dutch was fucking with primetime Brian Lee. I think they used Jackie's height to then introduce. I really think they were just doing that to plug at how many or fuck with how many times primetime Brian Lee says his height and weight. I think Jackie just happened to be the innocent bystander. He was just in the ring at the time.
Okay.
You wouldn't get that though, I guess. So
good opening match.
All right, so we get a Fantastic's promo here. Next, and let's play that up real quick for you, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go right now to Mr. Bob Caudle, standing by with the Fantastics.
All right, Dutch, right you are, and here is Jackie and Bobby. I tell you, we're talking about Fire on the Mountain. We're talking about barbed wire, 10-foot-high cage of barbed wire around the ring, and you and the Heavenly Bodies in there.
You know, I want to tell you something. These Smoky Mountain wrestling fans, they are great, because without them, I think we would have gave up a long time ago, Bob. Because we've been battling uphill battle whenever Cornette's at ringside. Well, now you're talking about Fire on the Mountain, August the 8th, in Johnson City, Tennessee. Brother, I'm telling you, you're talking about one of the most dangerous matches of professional wrestling, and I know because I've been in them. If they get a close look up of this head right here, they'll see that I've got enough scars on my head. It's 10-foot-high barbed wire cage match, and Cornette, just like Bob Armstrong said, he's going to be on the outside. But I don't think he wants to be shredded up like shredded wheat to come inside to interfere. I feel there is going to be where we're going to show who the best team is, and that's the Fantastics.
All right, Jackie.
Well, you know, Bob, for a long time, the Heavenly Bodies were doing a lot of laughing about what happened to my knee, about things that happened to Bobby. Well, I tell you what, it's our turn to do the laughing. We've been in the gym. My leg feels great, as you just saw, and it's going to be payback time, August 8th, right there, Fire on the Mountain. Heavenly Bodies, you better be ready. Because I know the Fantastics will be, right, Bobby?
That's right. And if you don't want to see blood, then don't come to the Fire on the Mountain. Because we're ready to bleed if that's what it takes to beat these guys.
From the Fantastics fans, we'll be back right after we take this timeout.
I just want to say one thing before I throw it over to you two. Bobby's ready to bleed, and I kind of like that. So, Harper, go ahead.
So what did that tell you?
Right.
Someone's gonna be fucking bleeding.
If I'm in the first rows, I'm wearing a raincoat that night.
Yeah, for real, huh?
The hepatitis will flow.
The hepatitis. Can you imagine saying that now? Can you imagine a talent saying that now on TV?
I'm ready to bleed.
I can't imagine any of this happening. That's why we're doing this.
Right.
I know.
But I think that would be beautiful. Like, can you imagine like a talent right now going, we're going to be in that cage, we're going to be in Hell in a Cell, and if I got to bleed, God damn it, I'll bleed. I don't give two shits. Or not two shits, but I'll bleed and I don't give a care. Like, that
the last,
would never
the last
make
guy
TV.
Who did anything close to that was the late 90s when Rick was still in the title picture with Savage.
That was the last time? Are you sure?
Nothing I think so.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. But, yeah, I just find that, like, completely crazy, man. You see, dude.
Yeah.
Because that it's just not going to happen now. Nobody's going to say that.
He's definitely the personality of the team.
Oh, yeah. Bobby yeah. always cut good promos. Now, Jackie's probably underrated the more I watch him. But at the end of the day, yeah.
He's Bobby, the body.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you, don't get me wrong, when Tommy Rogers and Bobby Fulton as a Fantastics, Tommy Rogers can cut a promo too. You go back and watch his stuff. But yeah, of these two, Bobby Fulton is the better promo. So, yeah, man, they're going to bleed. So I like that. They're going to be in a 10-foot high barbed wire cage. Somebody better be fucking bleeding.
For real.
Everybody better be bleeding.
Right.
The ref better be bleeding.
Which is Bullet Bob. Don't forget. He's the special guest. So, all right. Y'all got anything before I move to the next segment? I'm going to take that as a no. All right.
I think this is one of your big milestones, big moments, huge moments of Smoky Mountain. For me, it's one of probably the top five most memorable moments in the history of Smoky Mountain.
Right.
And the other four may be the gangsters making people uncomfortable a couple of years from now, but whatever.
Yeah. All right. So Bob and Dutch recap the Down and Dirty segment from last week that turned into a match between Robert Gibson and Jimmy Golden. Remember, the match was interrupted by the Tennessee stud, Robert Fuller, coming out. He laid waste to Gibson with his cowboy boot and belt. After this video recap of Gibson being beaten down, we get a promo with Gibson and Bob Cottle, and that's all I'm going to say at this point. So make sure you listen, because this is great.
Fans, here's rock and roll Robert Gibson. Robert, last week the fans saw, and we all looked at it in horror, as you really were jumped, really had a ton of trouble with Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller. Fuller just came out of nowhere, and I know you've been looking for a tag team partner. You got some news for all the fans.
That's right, Bob. See, I had Jimmy Golden right where I wanted him, but what happened? He got called an old friend up, Robert Fuller. Robert Fuller comes out. He wants to jump to me, too. Let me tell you something, Robert Fuller. I got old friends, too. I made a phone call to somebody I haven't talked to in over a year. He told me I'd be glad to be there and be beside your side. Let me tell you something, guys, and this is what he said.
You know, I made a lot of mistakes in my life, like everybody else has. But you see, I was in a situation where I've lost everything in my life. Anything that ever meant anything to me, I lost it. When that happened, I turned against friends. I turned against family. But one thing was for sure, when family fights, it's all right. But nobody else interferes. That's why I got out to you, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. Because one thing you've done is you got the Rock and Roll Express back together. Because I don't care what it takes, brother. You do not lay a hand on Robert Gibson. Myself, I think it's all right. But you see, I'm in a situation now. Well, I told you, I lost everything I had, and I know it was a big mistake. I even come out here and told everybody in the world that I never even signed another autograph. I was wrong, because at the time, I got offered a big contract, money. Money supposed to make the difference in my life, but money made nothing, because I had nobody to stand behind me like all the fans that used to. But one thing I know for sure is that myself and Robert Gibson were 4 times World Tag Team Champions. Nobody's ever come close to that record. Nobody's even come close to our won and lost record. So be sure on that. But one thing is for certain, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden, the Rock and Roll Express is going to reunite, and we're going to reunite with you. So we don't care what it takes. Like I told you before, we're the best tag team in the world today. And Robert Gibson, you know, and I hope you do, brother, that I'll stand beside you through thick and thin. I'll be there when the doors open.
All right, fans, and with us right now, Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, after what you guys did last week to Robert Gibson, how do you take that news right there from Robert?
I'm going to tell you something. I don't know where to stand out here and gripe or laugh and be happy. I'm going to tell you one thing about Ricky Morton. It ain't been a year ago in Knoxville, Tennessee, Robert Gibson, that he put you on your butt. Boy, he kicked your iron in real good. You want to call him a partner? I'm going to tell you, so you picked him real good. First of all, he's got no business bringing anybody in here from another organization from way down there in Atlanta, Georgia, or somewhere. He's not got the right. He's not got guts enough to step in a ring with me alone. What's the matter with you, Gibson? You got no guts, huh, boy?
Reuniting the Rock and Roll Express. No, that's what happened.
Hey, let's don't go that far. Let's talk about reuniting the Stud Stable and Jimmy Gold and Robert Fuller.
Just let me clear one thing.
I know what the rules are here, right, Bob Armstrong. They're not going to let that boy step out of one organization and into another and wrestle when he don't even have no license to wrestle here.
Well, I don't care what they do, Robert. I don't care what they do. But what I'm going to do is let Ricky Morton come in here and the Rock and Roll Express will roll again.
What? How come you think you can do that? Who do you think you are, Bob Song? Just because you say you're a commissioner around here, you got the right to come out here and tell us who we got to wrestle. I don't have to wrestle nobody that I don't feel like wrestling.
What you gonna do, Armstrong? I'm gonna tell you. You're gonna sign his death warrant. You're talking about killing somebody. That boy's gonna get hurt. There ain't gonna be no room for you at the Keebler factory for little help, son. You're gonna be ours.
All right, fans. We'll be back right after we take time out for this message.
Well. Okay, Doc. Go ahead, Doc. You go first.
Fucking Punky Morton. God damn it. Rock and Roll Express, the best tag team in the history of the fucking business, has reunited.
One line. That's all you got. Well, everything we just saw, and that's all you got to say.
No, I got a bunch to say. Okay, I just wanted to give everybody else some opportunities. So just to set the tone for everybody, Morton had been a heel in WCW, had changed his name to Richard Morton, and I think he was managed by Terry Runnels, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
I don't remember that.
And he had turned on Gibson, so that's why they had split, and I guess Gibson had gone to Smoky Mountain. So I think it's a really nice touch to acknowledge that that happened in a different promotion and tie up that thread and make the close that loop. So I thought that was awesome. It's always nice to not treat your fans like morons, even if they are morons.
You should take note of that yourself. You realize that, right?
I treat our fans. I do. I help them through their days with Smoky Mountain.
Okay, go ahead. Proceed.
So let me set the stage here. Morton is in the backyard, which had me thinking, what do you think was going on inside that house that they couldn't run a promo? He's wearing...
You're insulting someone that we're trying to land.
Shut up. He's the best seller in the history of the business and one half of the best tag team in the history of the world. And I'm on record months ago as saying that.
Yeah, so, no, I agree, but that is funny. What do you think was going on in the house?
Hey, I got to cut this promo. Nah, bro, you got to go outside and do that shit.
Yeah.
He's in white shorts.
Cut-off jean shorts, right?
I don't know. I was hoping that they were OP shorts. You remember OP back in the day?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Ocean OP. Pacific?
Yeah.
Those short-ass OP shorts. God damn. Yeah, I remember.
I was hoping they were OP shorts. There's a car driving, but he's in the backyard of this house. It does have bricks on it, so we are good there. A brick house. But there's a car driving by out front when it's just real. It's not in a vacuum. I mean, it's just, I got to cut this promo and let the people know I'm coming. And so I'll stop there. I got one more thing, and then we can talk about Morton, and then we can go over to the Golden and Fuller thing. But I just want to point out that in the past 5 weeks, we've had Ron Garvin, Robert Fuller, and Ricky Morton enter the territory.
We're stacking the deck, bro. We're booking the fucking territory is what we're doing with all that. Cornette brought in some heavy hitters.
Yeah.
That's right, Harper. Business is picking up.
That's right, goddamn it.
Well, okay. Well, Harper, you got anything?
No, I just can't wait for that fucking match. I mean, when's it going to happen? It was crazy. It's like, this shit's like 25 fucking years old. And it's like, I can't wait to fucking watch it.
I can't tell you when I watched all 200 episodes how many times it would be like 11:45. I'm like, man, I got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Then you're like, man, fuck that shit. I got to know what happened.
I got to know what happened. All right, man, I was at my last summer, I was at my wife's family reunion, and they were all doing stuff and activities, and I was holed up in the cabin just watching Smoky Mountain after Smoky Mountain after Smoky Mountain. It's crazy.
I remember that. That son of a bitch was texting me as he made through like 20 episodes in like a weekend. Bruh, such and such just came into the territory. Man, you'll never guess what happened this time. It, again, 20 plus years after the fact, he's sitting there watching it like it's brand new. Cornette, we need you. Where you at? Come on. We want you on the show. But no, seriously, that was a dude, when that segment comes on, and I mean, you kind of know Gibson is about to call his old tag team partner, but when you see Morton in this natural habitat, just come out, cut a promo. He's going to be there. He says he knows he messed up when he screwed Gibson in WCW, but now he's back. And he's going to help him out. But I want to bring something to your attention, Doc, that you said at the BTT Christmas party when Fuller and Golden were cutting that promo. And you said, what are the odds that those dudes don't have anything on underneath those robes? Because they're sitting there with those robes with their old school chest hair sticking out from the robes. And the robes are goofy looking, but they sell them as heels. It's just great. Bullet Bob comes in. That whole thing, you know, they're talking about, they're saying Fuller, you know, Morton's not licensed, which I assume Tennessee has a commission. That's why they're bringing that up. Bullet Bob says, you know, he can wrestle. I'm making sure it's going to happen. It was so good. So now we got another feud going on with these tag teams, with the Rock and Roll Express, the greatest tag team in the history of professional wrestling. It doesn't get any better, man. And like Harper said, now I want to see how this plays out.
Well, yes. And here's the thing. So not only is there speculation in the BTT camp that they may not have been wearing anything under the robes. Those robes are fantastic because they're ridiculous.
They really are.
The scuttlebutt around the wrestling world has always been that Fuller's got a hog on him underneath that robe, that he's got a fucking hose.
Where did you hear that?
I've heard that in several places before.
Okay.
He could get out there and do the windmill thing and create a current. The thing to consider here is that Fuller and Golden are big dudes too, man. Fuller 6'5".
Yeah.
I mean, they're both 6'5", 6'6". They are big, raw bone, just get it on guys.
Big old country boys.
Good old country boys that can just fight and drink beer and fight some more. Just to point out here, Fuller is, at the time of this taping, he is 41 years old.
Wow.
So,
again, I say this every week, it feels like that's my age right now. Wow.
And again, you got Golden, Fuller, Armstrong, Morton, and Gibson out there. So fucking wrestling, bruh.
Going wrestling.
And so put that together. Golden, Fuller, Armstrong, Morton, Gibson, and that's your underneath one of your three main feuds. It's not the main feud right now. It's one of three.
Yeah, that's
because Dirty White Boy and Brian Lee. Yeah. And then you got a fourth feud that's going to pop off here in a minute. We'll talk about when Orndorff and Garvin square off.
Yeah,
those are four. God dang, it's just fucking hot. We got to do
all
episode
fucking 27. Hall of Famers,
right? And remember, you only got an hour to fill.
Well, maybe we should just go ahead and fire up and record episode 27 right after this. We need to start doing two episodes a week, man. Come on. Put that second one behind the paywall.
Oh, but there you go. There you go with that. You're going to piss the fans off. Oh, boy. Here we go. Okay.
Every other episode is behind the paywall.
Y'all got anything else to add before I move on with Doc's ridiculous what he's stating right there? Because that's not happening.
Nothing. Seminal moment. Seminal moment in Smoky Mountain history. Remember it. Acknowledge it. Honor it.
Doc, do you need me, as we move to, I agree with that 100%, because Morton's now in the territory. Do you need me to play the next promo? Because it's Phil Rainey, Heavenly Bodies, and Jim Cornette. And I only ask this because as the promo plays and you watch this along on YouTube, the August 10th show has been canceled that I believe they're promoting here.
Yes, saw that.
Yeah, I would say we skip it because they show it twice that this just been postponed. There's nothing – my notes weren't really about anything that was said. It was just more about the fact that they talk about a coal miner's glove match. Those things are cool.
Yeah, coal miner's gloves, we talked about that on the top – the gimmick match types of our episode on the flagship show a few weeks back. But it basically – Cornette, they're building up a house show match that there's a coal miner's glove match. And, you know, I always thought those matches were cool too. So and what's weird is – this match was going to take place after the Fire in the Mountain match between the Heavenly Bodies and the Fantastic. So I may play it at the end of the episode, but I just wanted to point that out. So we'll skip forward to the next segment. We get a recap of what I believe is a Summer Blast match with Orndorff. Well, not what I believe. It's Orndorff and the Dirty White Boy versus Garvin and Primetime Brian Lee. If you remember last week, we stated that Orndorff and the Dirty White Boy lost to Garvin and Primetime Brian Lee. Primetime Brian Lee get the victory via pinfall when Primetime Brian Lee pins the Dirty White Boy. But Orndorff pile drives Garvin once at the end as the heels got some heat on the faces after the faces got the win. We talk about this often how, yeah, the heel might lose, but magically the heel keeps the heat when they win. You know, because they put the boots to the baby faces. So after the match recap, we go to a promo with Orndorff and then Ronnie Garvin responding. So you had mentioned this a second ago, Doc, between these. So let's play and hear what these two have to say.
Well, how does it feel, Ronnie Garvin? How does it feel being 6 inches shorter? The greatest pile driver technician in the world. You took the ultimate pile driver. Asked Hulk Hogan. Asked Andre the Giant what happened to him. They stretched him to the hospital. But I will say one thing for you. You got a little bit of guts. Because the next time we step into the ring, Ronnie Garvin, I'm going to give you my ultimate, ultimate pile driver. And it's over.
Now, Paul Orndorff, you're going around bragging that you pile drive Ronnie Garvin and I'm 6 inches shorter. Well, let me tell you something. I'm still around to talk. That's a bad mistake. When Ronnie Garvin in the past pile-drive somebody, they never were around to say a word because they were crippled and were out of the business. And now we got pile-driver versus pile-driver. So, my friend, that will tell the story. When I pile-drive a man, he stays down. He doesn't say a word.
All right, fans, and there you have it. A match has been signed between Orndorff and Garvin, a pile-driver match. The only way to win is to put a pile driver on your opponent. You know, Dutch, that's got to be some match.
Here's the thing. I want to say this before you guys weigh in. So basically these two will have a pile driver versus pile driver match at Fire on the Mountain, if I'm hearing this correctly. So just some quick analysis, and I'm just poking fun here, having a good time because it's Smoky Mountain and we love it. We went from pile drivers being illegal to now making a match stipulation, which is awesome.
Boy, that was my exact note. So it's so bad we're going to outlaw it. And now let's make a match with it.
And not only that, you're going to see the ultimate pile driver.
Right.
Like it's, awesome. It's great in so many ways because, again, we would crucify
WWE for that, but all their shit's hokey and stupid, so never mind.
We actually have this discussion a lot about this. There's probably a lot of things that we would crucify WWE for. As hokey and stupid, as we watch Smoky Mountain. I mean, it just is. But it's part of that is what made it great too. Like, and again,
well, the difference is that Smoky Mountain Wrestling is furthering the tradition of Southern wrestling, and WWE takes a big fat shit on it. So fuck them.
Well, not only that too, but let me ask this: does Bullet Bob? Does he drop the whole pile driver fine thing after this point in the promotion?
I don't remember.
Okay, so we need to pay attention to that because if he does, it's one thing if you make this stipulation and then you're going to stick to the fines for everyone else. But it's another thing if you're like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going with it because rules change. That's how it works in wrestling. Rules change. So, but anyway, I just thought that was funny. We went from banning a move to all of a sudden now a move is a stipulation in the match, so we're going to build a whole match around it. But anyway, all right, y'all.
And that's another big feud. We got lots of big feuds, like we just said, with lots of big names.
There you go. So we then go to the next match, which is a Stormtrooper versus Prime.
God damn.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Now, Hardbody Hopper, you've been looking for some Nazi imagery ever since we told you Ron Wright broke out a Nazi flag on television in USA Wrestling from Knoxville a few weeks back when we covered that promo. What did you think of the Stormtrooper, Harper?
I was shocked. like, even back then, you could get away with something like that. Some guy with a fucking Nazi outfit on.
Let me remind you people, everyone listening. Let me remind everyone. This is 1992. I mean, I'm a teenager. It's hard to overstate how terrible what went on in Nazi Germany. I mean, everyone knows the genocide that occurred there. But we got a man on television in a Nazi outfit. And not only is he in a Nazi outfit, but he does the Third Reich sign, and he does the Führer hand in the air. Did you catch that, Doc?
He's Sieg Heil'd.
Sieg Heil'd. He puts that hand up. And I'm like, holy shit. So let's get to the match.
My note here was, first of all, I was like, Jesus Christ, did he bring fluoride with him? Because remember we had the fluoride.
Yeah. The Nazis used fucking fluoride.
My other note was, this is something I shouldn't have to point out, but you could not do this today.
Is he the Black Scorpion?
No. Bo James told me I think that's Tim Fry. Which, there's a Tim Fry in actually episode like one or two of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But I think Bo James told me that's Tim Fry. I might be wrong, but I want to say he said that a few weeks ago when we talked.
So also, this is almost too far for me. Almost.
No, it's wrestling. Let's offend some people.
And then, well, and that leads me to my next question for you guys. What do you think the seamstress who made that costume thought?
Pay me, pay me, boss.
Hey, Miss Sue, look, I need a fucking Nazi flag.
Hey, Beulah Bush, I need you to sew me up a costume. Sure, hey, honey, what you want on it? You want a lightning bolt?
No,
well, not exactly. I need two lightning bolts side by side in the form of an S.
Pin me, pay me, boss. That's what the seamstress said. I mean, he's in full Nazi regalia. I mean, I say full. It's like, but he's got the mask, the shirt.
I get a little uncomfortable looking at Christopher Daniels get up today in ROH.
Right, with his gear that he wears to the ring.
Yeah.
And it's only because it looks like what Hitler would wear. But yes, it doesn't have a swastika on it, though.
This is a whole new level. This is just in your face.
I mean, God, boy, Jesus. So, yeah, this is in your face, and look, it is. Here we go. So, all right.
You know what his finisher is? The fucking gas chamber.
What?
Yeah.
God.
I thought his finishing move would be the final solution.
Oh.
It could be the final solution, yes.
But he's fighting Primetime Brian Lee, so I'm assuming, and I don't want to give away any spoilers here, but I'm assuming he's not going to get the win.
Dude, this
this is the South where Dixie Dynamite can be a babyface, but the Stormtrooper is still probably going to be a heel.
Right, yeah. Right. And I just want to tell our Jewish audience out there, I mean, you know, look, we're not talking about this to offend anyone. It's amazing that this is on television, even in 1992. And you want to talk about things you just couldn't do now, but Jesus. But at the same time, Doc, do you want to share a story that happened within a workplace that you know of, someone who was of German descent and someone who was of Jewish descent, or you want to stay away from that one? Talking about throwing somebody in an oven.
Oh yeah. So
allegedly, this happened at a workplace of a coworker.
Yeah, former
co-worker of Doc and I.
One of my former big bosses at the office, his best drinking buddy and golfing buddy.
Let me stop you 1 second. Here's the thing. The reason we're talking about this is because we talk about things you can't do anymore in corporate America.
That are happening in corporate.
That happened in corporate America in 2016. But go ahead, Doc.
So my boss, and he's gone now, but he was, and not because of this, but he was a, my boss's boss. And his best buddy, drinking buddy, golfing buddy outside of work is his peer. They're both executive boss men, booker men at the work, is Jewish. And they were joking around one day and getting at each other. And finally, my boss's boss said, I'm tired of this shit. You keep talking, I'll just throw your ass in a fucking oven.
That's nice.
He told a Jewish man he was going to throw him in an oven. Jesus Christ. In the workplace, corporate America.
Where y'all work at? Jesus.
No, this wasn't where we work. This was a former co-worker's workplace.
Okay.
But this former co-worker actually had it recorded, to played it for us. Unreal. So it did happen, but not where we
were. It was at Auschwitz.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's get to the match. So Dutch, I say get to the match, but basically it starts, and Dutch Mantel says, Primetime Brian Lee graduated from the University of South Florida with a 4.0 average, which was his blood alcohol level. Also, Dutch mentions Primetime Brian Lee's height as being 6'8", 280 again, and I'm going to repeat it. You can't convince me that Primetime Brian Lee is not being ribbed by Dutch Mantel. The match is very quick. No shocker here. There's no final solution, you know, move put on by the Stormtrooper. Primetime Brian Lee hits the cancellation finish on the Stormtrooper, pins the Stormtrooper. Doc, anything you want to add? Harper, anything you want to add before we move on?
No, it was a squash match.
Yeah, we've said enough at this point about that fucking match, so we're gonna leave that match where it's at. So
We should go ahead and get to another really nice discussion worthy segment.
Yeah. We have a promo first though.
Let's play it. Shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Why do you hate promos so much?
Let's go. This is a Primetime Brian Lee promo.
All right, Dutch, and right you are, and here he is, the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion, Primetime Brian Lee. Brian, we just said August 8th, Johnson City, Tennessee, Fire on the Mountain. Once and for all, you got a chance to get rid of the Dirty White Boy.
You know, Dirty White Boy, you're exactly right, Bob. Once and for all, either put up or shut up. 6'8", 280 pounds, Fire on the Mountain. That's exactly what it's going to be. Either you win the belt and you become the champion, or shut that big mouth and get on that train out of town. Because like I said once before, you may be a good wrestler, but you're not ready for prime time.
Fans, that's August 8th, Johnson City, Tennessee. Fire on the Mountain. We'll be back. We'll have more action in the ring right after we take this brief timeout.
Hey, Doc, how tall is Primetime Brian Lee?
He's a million. He was out of breath after his match, but he sounded a lot better doing it than Horner did last week.
He sure the fuck did.
So here's the question I have as far as logistics going forward. Are we going to play this down and dirty thing? Because I don't know that it translates from an audio perspective into what. Yeah, I think we should just talk people through it, because I think you really have to see what happens here.
That shit's awesome.
I think there's a lot of stuff that doesn't, audio only does not do this justice. But we can paint that picture for people.
Yeah, I mean, I can play it at the end of the episode if you just want to talk through it. If that's what you feel is best.
It's pretty insane. So I don't know. It's up to you. You're the boss, boss.
Let me tell you what I have. So okay, you're right, because it's kind of long and it doesn't really translate as far as when you're not seeing it too. But I'll play it at the end. But Dutch is on location with a dog for protection, which this dog does not look like any type of dog that could protect anyone. But neither here nor there. They show a sign that says Smoky Mountain Auto Parts. I need some of the good listeners in Smoky Mountain to tweet me and tell me if this place is still in existence and if it's indeed in Bucksnort, Tennessee. So Riley Arnwine and the rest of the great listeners from the Smoky Mountain area, you guys always tweet me for accurate depictions of that area, and you always correct me, which I appreciate because we're not from the area. But help me out and let me know.
They say courtesy of Smoky Mountain Auto Parts, Cleveland, Tennessee, during the credits.
So it's in Cleveland then. They gave credits to it, but you know what? I don't know if I want to take wrestling credits as gospel either, because it's a fucking work. So, I mean, there's a credit years ago that there was that a segment was produced by Kayfabe on like literally K-A-Y Fabe is in the credit. So I don't know. Who knows? But Cleveland, Tennessee, that's a good catch, Harper. That's a real good catch.
Cleveland, Tennessee actually has 42,000 people in it.
That's big. So, Riley Arnwine and the rest of our Smoky Mountain listeners who live in that area, feel free to correct us. Dutch is telling the dog to kill on sight. And Josh, I want you to add to anything I miss as I'm going through it. Dutch also says, I hope Dirty White Boy gave me the right address. This is not a home where you can just find an address. So, yeah, I guess. It's key to point out they're in what appears to be a definite junkyard. They finally find the Dirty White Boy, who brushes his teeth by swishing some water around in his mouth.
That's not water.
Vodka, sorry. Dutch asks Dirty White Boy about the stipulation of having to leave town if he loses. And Dirty White Boy says, I ain't losing. If I lose and have to leave, I have to leave all of this, as he looks around this junkyard. That's the notes I have, because honestly, you have to see it to understand it. Doc, what did I miss? I know you took a lot of notes.
Well, I thought he was squishing beer around. I thought he was brushing his teeth by having a mouthful of beer and was swishing it around like mouthwash.
Wouldn't vodka be more potent though if you're going to use liquor for mouthwash?
But didn't he drink it out? He drank it out of a can. When do you get vodka out of a can?
I don't know, man. We're in a fucking junkyard. How is anything supposed to make sense?
Okay, so I thought Dirty White Boy was perfect here.
You don't say.
What is the real percentage chance that in real life he's really drunk here?
Probably 50-50.
I said 34.
Yeah, I was going to say 50-50 chance that he actually may have been drunk on purpose. Yeah.
And then Dutch was awesome, because every time Dirty White Boy leaned in to try to tell him something, Dutch would lean back like his breath was awful. So that shit was just really setting it up. And this wasn't some hokey WWE junkyard. This was a real deal junkyard. They went to a junkyard for this.
Yeah, I want to know if that junkyard is still around. That's why I say that. But it was good. And Doc, you pointed out the one thing that I forgot to say. Dutch truly sells it, because he's a great worker. The smell on Dirty White Boy's breath, as alcohol and sleep and, you know, the dookie breath in the morning that people tend to have, he sells the fuck out of it. What that made it really good, man. I enjoyed it. Harper, you got anything
else? But you know full well that we have some listeners, because I got to say I've done it before too, who in some point in their life, and they may not be proud of this, but took a drink of alcohol before they brushed their teeth that morning.
I never did that. I'm sure you did, Doc, many times. You're also on record. You're also on record as saying when you were in college, you know, pursuing your bachelor's degree, that you went up into some strange pussy too. So
what?
That's his exact words.
I don't think I've ever said anything close to that before. Will you?
He's like, man, I crushed some strange ass back in the day.
That is. That is a complete and unfabrication.
Or his wife's gonna listen and hear it. But yeah, so okay. Anything else before we move on? Before we move forward, I should say.
I would assume that most people watch these episodes as well. If you don't, this would be one worth watching, because I don't know that we did that segment justice.
Well, yeah, that was just worth watching everything just to get to that point. It was fucking worth it.
Because they are in a legit junkyard, and Dutch has a dog.
The most stupid-ass dog. It was very real. It was like, what the fuck, man? It would have been stupid-ass the dog. Only way... That would have been more hilarious if he would have had his like dirty ass kids barefoot running around the damn bus or something. And like he was like hollering at him, like, get out of here. Ah.
The dirty white girl was chasing him yeah. down with a wooden spoon to try to yank yeah. him.
God. Yeah, that was a good segment. Go watch it. You got to see it because it really drives a point home. We go to the next segment, which is Paul Lee versus Tim Horner. Dutch pops Bob Cottle before the match can even begin. Dutch asked how Bob liked his interview. Bob says, well, that's about what I thought Buck's note would look like. Dutch says, well, I'm going to call the mayor to tell him what you said. Dutch says, you know who the mayor is, right? Bob Cottle says, who? Dutch says, the dirty white boy, to which, of course, Bob Cottle chuckles. Again, I just thought that was great. Doc, you want to add to anything there before I get to the match?
No, let's hit the match.
Paul Lee does the honors in the beginning of the match of, basically doing everything that Ric Flair used to do. Face bump, you know, all that good stuff. It's typical. I mean, we've seen it now a few times. Bob Cottle starts in with, where is Barry Horowitz, like he used to do when he would ask Dutch Mantel where Carl Stiles was. And that went on for a little bit. Back to the match, we get the Paul Lee, Ric Flair flip in the corner just like Flair used to do. We also get another Flair face bump. Lee gets a little offense at one point. He hits Horner with a leg drop, and on a second attempt, Horner moves when Lee goes to the top. This leads to a few more spots. But, again, Tim Horner, as slow as it is, wins with the natural bridge. Doc, anything from this match worthwhile?
No. Okay. Well, doesn't Dutch say something about he could do the natural bridge?
No, Dutch says that Horner got the natural bridge from him, which I did kind of chuckle at that.
Yeah. I said, if Dutch tried to do a natural bridge, he'd be in the hospital.
At that age, you're probably right. Yeah, I would agree. Harper, you got anything before we move to the next segment?
I'm just surprised Paul Lee got so much stuff in.
He did get He did get some offense, and it was kind of shocking.
He got the inverted DDT, and I was like, he's fucking going up top. What the fuck's this? He fucking got a damn leg drive from the top rope in.
Yeah, he did. Who knows? That was kind of weird. But he did get a lot of offense. He did get a lot of – he got more offense. I'd probably say he got more offense on this one than he's gotten any other ones at this point.
Yeah, for real.
But he's still enhancement talent, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Doc, do I need to play this next segment? Because it's Cornette promo mixed in here.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Here, let's hit it.
Most of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling fans are aware of the fact that Davy Richard, the Party Patrol, is out of action with a broken leg, which is suffering at the hands of the Heavenly Body. Nothing.
I'm not laughing about it. I'm sorry.
All right,
let's hear these words now
from Davy, and then these comments from Jim Cornette. That's not nice at all. That's not nice, guys. That's terrible.
I can't help it.
Terrible.
This is David Jett in Memphis, Tennessee, with an update on the Davy Rich situation. Davy, how's the leg doing?
It's doing a lot better. You know, I had another surgery, David. And, again, I'd like to thank all the people, the fans of Great Smoky Mountain Wrestling. It's getting better every day. But the story is Jimmy Cornette. Mr. Cornette, I've had another week to think about you. I think about you 24 hours a day when I eat, when I sleep. Constantly, that's all I think about. I'm devising a plan, and the plan is to get you, Jimmy Cornette. I don't care what it takes, I will get you. It may be in Knoxville, it may be in Harlan, Kentucky, where you got me, but the day is going to come that I'm going to have Davy Rich's day. Hey, Tommy Wildfire, Johnny, all the Armstrong boys are calling me. I've got plenty of people to take care of your heavenly bodies if the Fantastics don't do it first. But, Jimmy Cornette, I am coming after you.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about Davy Rich's predicament. Davy Rich is crying and squealing. He's got plaster of Paris from his ankle up to his hip. He's got a broken leg. He's going to be out 4 months. He thinks he's got bad luck. He could have not got hurt that time. He could have got back in the ring with the heavenly bodies and got beat up time after time after time. Davy Rich, you got the lucky way out. Now, the Fantastics, they're talking about this barbed wire cage match at Freedom Hall in Johnson City at Fire on the Mountain. They wanted this match to keep everybody in the ring, see who the best team is. Well, I don't know, Fantastics, if you realize what it's going to feel like when you're all wrapped up in that four-pronged barbed wire. Maybe you need a little visual illustration.
Doc, I want to throw it at y'all, but I got to say one thing. I don't know who that fucking guy is that was interviewing Davey Rich. But he looks like he's stuck in between 1970, 1980, and stupid. Harper, what did you think of that dude?
Looks like a Jimmy Hart impersonator.
That's exactly what I thought.
I don't know, man. That was strange. That dude.
What was
weird.
That? Was that supposed to be from a TV show or something?
They throw it to a segment. It looks like a terrible TV set, but. I don't. It's just weird the way this thing fits in because, Doc, I don't recall this really going anywhere. Like, Davey's leg's broken and he gets some air time, but man, I've watched ahead. Maybe I haven't watched far enough ahead, but they don't ever come back to anything with them, do they?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I wonder if here's what I wanted to know, and I don't know the answer to this. I'm not saying that this was what they did. I don't know. Is that there may have been a lot of other promotions around the South. He did have a broken leg, so that was probably central to all of this. And that they cut this promo to kind of they could farm this thing out to different promotions around the region and have it one time instead of having him cut a Smoky Mountain promo.
Okay. Yeah, I can see
that. I don't know. What I do know is if you think Morton's shorts were dated in OP earlier. The shirt that Davey Rich is wearing.
Christ.
That thing was out of touch in 1985.
God
and these damn. Square panels, and I mean, God. So yeah. The host is in the 70s. The guest is in the mid-80s, and we're in the early 90s. This the wrong Rich to be cutting a promo. His brother Johnny is a much better promo than Davey. I think he threatened a Tommy Wildfire Rich appearance, which won't happen for a long time and completely unrelated to this. I don't know. It was a little odd and it was out of place.
Yeah, and that guy is so fucking monotoned.
He's not the
Tell if he was fucking angry or he was in a good mood. I don't know.
His brother, the other Rich cuts much better promos.
I think about you all day.
He sounded like he's been popping Percocets to get over
for
that
real,
leg
huh?
Pain.
Maybe he's on some somas. Who knows, man? That's just it was weird. I don't know. I figured I'd bring it up because it just was. I didn't. It's just really strange. But whatever. Anything else before I move to the next segment? I'm gonna take that as a no.
No.
We got Hector Guerrero and Ben Jordan versus the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette at ringside, obviously. Bob Cottle points out as soon as the Heavenly Bodies head to the ring that Cornette doesn't have his tennis racket, but he does have a brown bag. Hector has some kind of noisemaker that he is using before the match, and Dutch plays it great, saying, literally, that crazy Mexican must have smuggled that thing across the border.
Sir.
What?
That's called a matraca?
Okay, I'm just repeating what Dutch said.
I know, but you're talking like some crazy noisemaker. Like you're uncultured. So I'm trying to help you here, bud. I am trying to help repair our relationship with our Latino and Hispanic audience.
Jesus
that you Christ. Hurt last week with your insensitive and hurtful comments.
Because I said a man had a wet
back.
I didn't say.
There it is again.
There it is again.
You should have said hydrated back.
Oh. Hydrated back. God have mercy on my soul because I was trying to explain that the man's back was wet and he was getting whipped with a leather belt.
Could have also gone with his dorsal region, which is would mean his back. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. PhD. Thank you very much. But anyway, Dutch calls Hector a crazy Mexican and he smuggled it across the border. Bob Cottle also addresses Dutch laughing about how Davey Rich's broken leg. I'm sorry. Bob addresses Dutch laughing about Rich's broken leg before they went to the Davey Rich interview. Ben Jordan into the match surprisingly gets a little bit of offense here at the beginning of it because he's in the main event, which kind of shocks Doc. This ends quickly, but Jordan is able to get some offense in on Dr. Tom when he comes in. Hector does a bunch of flips and rolls. Once he comes in, Dutch isn't impressed and says, look at this goof. That's his literal words. Look at this goof. Hector does a nice double head scissors or something like that that takes out the Heavenly Bodies. I'll repeat, Hector and Jordan control the first few minutes of the match, which is surprising. Wouldn't you say, Doc? Silence.
I don't know if it's surprising. No. I don't know if it's surprising. Man, I think that it's just that the heavenly bodies are so generous.
Okay. I'll repeat, whatever. Dr. Tom and Stan finally get control over Hector when he makes a mistake and he is too close to the ropes. Stan takes advantage of Hector. Hector makes the hot tag. Ben Jordan comes in, but this is quickly shut down. Before you know it, it's Heavenly Bodies using their finisher. Heavenly Bodies getting the win. Harper, any thoughts on this match that you want to recap?
No, I just love it when he said he, I guess he rolled across the Rio Grande.
Shit that you can't say in 2017. We've went from that to now we're at the point where it looks like our new president is going to put up a fence that we're going to pay for.
Yeah.
By the time this airs, it may already be up.
According to him, yeah, maybe up.
I had a couple of things on the match. At 42:30, Hector lays in the three worst kicks I have ever seen. And at 46:20, they show a couple of fans in the crowd, and these folks appear to have some very super special needs. So if you like gawking at people with special needs, 46:20 into the episode will get you there.
That's real nice, Doc, making fun of people with special needs. Just an asshole, man.
What's in the bag, man? What's in the bag?
Yeah, what is in the bag? So, well, Cornette, you know, eventually he opens up this bag, which has got barbed wire in it, and he proceeds to hogtie Ben Jordan. I mean, exactly how you would imagine being hogtied. And that's what was in the bag. So this is quickly stopped, though, when the Fantastics hit the ring to chase off the heels. If you've watched this and you've heard me talk about on our flagship show the ether rag, you may have thought this may have been the ether rag moment, but it's not the ether rag moment. He does not pull an ether rag or ether out of the bag, but he pulls out barbed wire and he's got some gloves on. So yeah, that was what was in the bag. Anything else, Doc, you want to add?
No.
Okay. All right. Last thing. We got another promo. It's Tim Horner, and he's addressing the I Quit match. So I'll play that, and then we'll go to the last segment of the show.
Wrestling fans, get ready for a spectacular night of wrestling in Oakwood, Virginia at the Garden High School on Monday, August the 10th at 7 p.m. Rock and Roll Express, Ronnie Garvin and Paul Orndorff. At Castlewood, Virginia at the football field on Friday night, August 7th, bell time 8 p.m., another big wrestling card. And don't forget Richwood, West Virginia, the Richwood Junior High School on Wednesday, August the 5th, bell time 8 p.m. The biggest card ever in Beckley, Sunday, August the 9th, bell time 2 p.m. at the Raleigh County Armory, no increase in prices. A tape fist match, Dixie Dynamite meets Killer Kyle. In an I Quit match, it'll be Tim Horner taking on Buddy Landell. A title match puts Brian Lee against the Dirty White Boy. In a pile driver match, Paul Orndorff meets Ronnie Garvin. And the Rock and Roll Express return. They'll take on Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. In a coal miner's glove match, Bob Armstrong, special referee. The Fantastics meet the Heavenly Bodies. Let's hear from White Lightning Tim Horner.
You know, it's finally coming to a head, Nature Boy Buddy Landell, a I Quit match. We've had all kinds of matches. We've had grudge matches. We've had strap matches, and now it's an I Quit match. And the only way you can win, Buddy Landell, is for me to make you say I quit. And the only way you can win is for you to make me say I quit. I don't think you can make me say I quit, because a quitter never wins and a winner never quits, Buddy Landell. I'm going to make you say I quit.
Let's hear from the Fantastics.
Well, I want to tell you, last time there at the Raleigh County Armory, you know, the building wasn't big enough for the match between the Fantastics and the Heavenly Bodies. It got out of hand. The last time I seen those Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, they were running right out the back door. Well, this time, brother, and I heard Cornette earlier, knock the great fans out here, knock what they do for a living, and the majority of them, and that's a coal miner's glove match. That's right. The pole is going to be in the center of the ring. The object's not going to be to leave the arena. It's going to be to get up to the top of that pole and to get down in the ring. And let me tell you, Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, Bobby and Jackie Fulton, we're looking forward to getting that glove and beating your stinking brains out right there in Beckley at the Raleigh County Armory.
Harper, you want to add anything before we move to the next segment?
I really heard him say, I quit like 50 times.
Bruh. He's like a broken record, dude. I quit. And if I say I quit, that means you win. If you say I quit, that means I win. And I'm not going to say I quit because I quit. Oh, Jesus, dude. I heard I quit way too many times. Doc, do you have anything?
No.
Besides the Fantastics, that was good. The coal miner promo was fine. I was good.
Just canceled. What are we even talking about this
show? Okay, so we are going to play this last promo, though, which is Cornette addressing the Fantastics and firing the mountain.
All right, fans, here they are. Jim Cornette, the Heavenly Bodies. You had to be trying to say something to the Fantastics with that barbed wire.
I was trying to let them know what they've gotten themselves in for. Sorry about the ear, Stan. You see, the thing is, in Freedom Hall at Fire on the Mountain, you're not going to be able to wear heavy gloves like this. You're not going to be able to wear heavy protection, Fantastics. What you're going to be in for is the fight of your stinking life. You're going to get tied up in that barbed wire, four-pronged barbed wire, and you're going to look like coleslaw when the Heavenly Bodies get finished with you at Fire on the Mountain. We're going to hog-tie you. Even better, we hog-tied that punk right there, brother.
Fans, next week, a preview of Fire on the Mountain. We'll see you then.
Quit
so long for now.
Doc, I'll let you go first this time. Go ahead.
So we have some reasonable intel that leads us to believe that Dr. Tom Pritchard may from time to time be checking out the show. So I don't want him to take the wrong, if this is the first thing he hears, take this the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But Tom Pritchard touched his hair 4 times in 45 seconds.
No, it was beautiful. I actually, CM Sepeda on Twitter said that.
We've got the Tom Pritchard touch his hair, fluff his hair drinking game. So if that's the case, you just took 4 shots in 45 seconds. Good luck. Good luck to you.
Yeah, that was beautiful, man. Dr. Tom tweeted out the last few episodes, though. Thank you, Dr. Tom, if you are listening to this.
He's the doctor of desire, you know.
Yeah, I do. I do. But I think that's a great heel move that he does. We also had Stan Lane.
Looking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love how he sold his ears the whole time.
He can't even talk. He's so preoccupied with his ears hurting. Anything else, Doc?
No.
Yeah, I think they solid double here from them, if we're using baseball terms on this promo, building up to Fire on the Mountain. Something did scare me, though, because I can't remember. It's been a while since I watched the next episode, which is episode 27. He says they preview Fire on the Mountain. So I kind of wonder what next week's episode is going to look like. And we'll figure that out next week.
I think it's pretty rough, and then I think 28 may be the recap of Fire on the Mountain, but they show it on air.
Okay, so we will tackle those in the next couple weeks. But yeah, Harper, you had anything else from that promo?
No, that was it.
All right, I'm gonna do disabilities first. Disability checks. I'm going 7.5 because flat out, Ricky Morton and the Down and Dirty with Dutch with the Dirty White Boy made me give it a 7.5. Doc, you go ahead.
For the same reasons, I'm giving it a 7.6.
Wow, you're that close. That's crazy. What about you, Harper?
I'm going to give it an 8 for that fucking promo.
Which one? Morton or?
No, the fucking Junkyard.
That really popped you, didn't it?
Dude, I watched it about 5 fucking times last night. I'm like, I didn't know this shit was on here.
So the first time you saw it, what was your reaction?
I was like, this is fucking great. Man, right when I heard they were going to his house, I said, this is going to be fucking great. Because, yeah. I mean, no one does that shit anymore.
No, not at people's houses.
Everything happens in a big-ass hockey or basketball arena.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, exactly.
The only one that's probably close, I guess you can say, although it's different, is, well, Lucha Underground does that, but that's
cool. Well, TNA went to the Hardy compound.
Right, that's what I was about to say. Well, TNA does the Hardy compound, but it's still different the way they present it. It's not like with the, you know, they didn't show up. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's a completely different look. But
if you don't know the difference, there's nothing we can say to explain it to you. And you probably already know the difference because you're listening to episode 26 of the Smoky Mountain Review.
Right. Oh, okay. So Harper gave it an 8. You gave it a 7.6, Doc. I gave it a 7.5. We're all in the same range. It's pretty good. All right. If you are a first-time listener, subscribe to the show, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. And if you are on iTunes, do us a solid. Give us a 5-star review and write some nice comments. We would appreciate it. It definitely helps us out. I think I heard Brian last say the Apple gods like when you rate 5 stars and write a comment. So we would appreciate that. Also, become a Patreon member. That way you can, who knows, maybe even join us for an episode. Cut a promo on Doc Turner. Go to mikemills.podme.com, click the Become a Patron member button at the very top of that page, and you can become a patron for just $2 a month, and we'd appreciate if you would do that. Follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper's at CJHHudat. And follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. That is where you can get your very own Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast tee on the Shop Now button. Let's give out some government cheese awards. I'll go first again. I'm sorry, I got to give it to Ricky Morton. He's in the territory, and he's about to pop this motherfucker off. That's it. I mean, there ain't no money. I can't say nothing else. Ricky Morton's here. When I was watching that shit, it just popped off. They're like, holy shit, Morton's in the territory. Spoiler alert, there's some other things that happened too later on down the line similar to this where you're like, god damn, he's coming in now too? Shit, yeah, I'm hook, line, and sinker. Zzz. Doc, who you got? Government cheese.
Punky Morton, bruh.
I knew that was coming.
I mean, shit. I just hope one of our faithful listeners, Mulder Morton, is gonna survive the weekend after listening to this, because you know he's gonna be out reliving the moment he entered Smoky Mountain and do copious amounts of drugs and rats.
Okay, that's you're saying
Mulder. not the real Ricky Morton, the mullet of Morton, the parody.
At Mullet of Morton is probably losing his mind right now, wouldn't you say, Hopper?
Yes.
Have they drug you into any more Twitter wars lately? And
no,
back and forth?
Okay. I think they stopped. They are definitely stopped.
Carver, who are you giving your government cheese award to?
I'm giving it to Dutch's dog during that promo.
Dutch's dog, the dog that's Dutch's, not so vicious.
Yeah, and to his cigar that he keeps on freaking playing with.
Yeah, I like that too. That's a nice little heel tactic that he's using there. I gotta agree there. Yeah, so I don't know. I thought this was a good episode, man. I mean,
yeah, it was.
It's hard, man. Ricky Morton comes into the territory, and then you got Fuller and Gibson responding, and then you got Dutch with Dirty White Boy. You know, the main event was meh, but still, overall, you know, it goes to show you don't need a big main event for a show to be great either.
Well, and so this is, and I always try to give everybody a kind of a view of the bigger picture of where we're at. Man, things are hot. There's 3, 4, 5 feuds that are going now. There's big names in the territory. You know, we talk about people coming in and coming out. We got a big crew coming in of big names. They're going to stay for a while, and this is going to be the main roster for the next couple of months. So there's not going to be, I don't think, any big entries until we get through the 30s and they do a little bit more shifting around. So this is the crew, and they're going to dance for a while, and they're setting up some good heat going forward. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we said it a few weeks ago, it's going to be a hot summer and hot end of 92 for them as they really get the ball rolling. So we will see, man. It's heating up, though, that's for damn sure. And it's better than that shit they fucking put out every Monday night on Raw. That's for fucking shit. Oh, God, that shit's terrible. All right, y'all. I don't know. I'm trying to think if I got anything else. I already said the patron. Use the Amazon referral link, mikemills.podbean.com, very top of the page. If you're shopping on Amazon, please use that link. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It's a way for you to support. If you love Smoky Mountain Wrestling and this podcast, it's a way for you to support the show. You know, I'm going to use Brian Last's words. JR don't need it. Austin don't need it. Jericho don't need it. So please support us. Use the Amazon referral link if you're using Amazon to shop online. Doc, you got anything before we get out of here?
Nope.
HH, you got anything before we get out of here?
Nope.
All right, y'all. For Mike and Doc, you know what we always say before I throw it over to Harper? Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here on this week's episode.
Book it, bitch.